Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we're inviting you to keep listening and hear how the Basic Gospel intersects with your daily life and how the Word of God can help you experience true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or a troublesome issue you'd like to talk about, now's the time. Call 1-800-677-9377. Again, 1-800-677-9377. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, Basic Gospel is this. Jesus Christ died, was buried, and on the third day was raised back to life. So the good news is that Jesus Christ is alive today. Do you really believe it? Well, if you do believe it, then you can trust him to speak a word of truth into your situation and enable you to live out the will of the Father in day-to-day life. That's the power of this gospel message. It's not resting on our shoulders. It's resting on the person and work of Jesus Christ. It's his record that grants us access into the throne of grace. It's his life that is lived out through us each and every moment of every day. Well, what does that mean to us? Well, when we go through hurts, when we have emotional pains and those sort of things that we experience, we can trust Jesus Christ in the midst of those. And we can do so knowing that he's promised that he will cause all things to work together for good. If we're feeling anxious, fearful about the future, if we're angry over the past or guilty over the past, Jesus Christ, who is alive today, living in us, can speak to our minds a word of truth that will renew those minds. And when our minds get renewed, guess what happens? Our feelings get renewed, yeah. And we get to experience freedom.
Absolutely.
It's a marvelous plan that God put in place, yeah, in the person of Christ Jesus.
Absolutely.
And if we will just learn to trust him, we can taste this freedom over and over and over again.
Let's talk about it on this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us, everybody. You can really join us and be a part of the broadcast by give us a call right now, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to the Bronx, New York, and talk with Anthony, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Anthony. Welcome back.
How you doing, sir? The other day, you guys were talking about you can't lose your salvation no matter what sin you commit or whatever after becoming saved. Well, in Hebrews 10:26, it says that continual intentional sin after receiving the knowledge of Christ is no longer covered. Can you expand on that?
Well, it's a great question, Anthony, and this is one of those passages that when you read it, it's quite scary. You think, oh, my goodness,
yeah,
have I done something?
I've done it.
Yeah. So have I done something that is going to rob me of this salvation that God has granted to me in Christ?
I was addicted to sex and drugs, and I didn't want to do it. And every Sunday I was in there crying and repenting, but then when it overtakes me again, because I was molested, you know, and I was a drug addict and sexually addicted, and it overtook me, you know.
So you're sitting there wondering, wow, I'm doing this deliberately. Is God going to remove his presence from me? That's scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, this particular passage, again, when we read the Bible, context is so vitally important. It is the critical element in correct understanding, other than, you know, relying upon the Holy Spirit to give meaning. But next to the Holy Spirit, understanding the context is the most important part of Bible reading. And here, the writer of Hebrews is talking about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And he was writing to an audience that were steeped in Judaism. It was a Hebrew audience. So they were used to the sacrificial system, the blood of bulls and goats being shed once a year, the high priest taking that offering into the Holy of Holies and bringing about atonement for the people. That's how they got their sins forgiven under the law in that old covenant. But now Jesus Christ had come along and he became the high priest. He became the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. and his death was the final sacrifice for sins. And so the message to the Hebrew people was this, that you need to set aside that old way and grab hold of this new sacrifice and rely upon the blood of Jesus as final propitiation for your sins, as final payment for your sins, and then move forward in your relationship with God. So that's the context of Hebrews 10:26.
So they're telling them that, listen, if you keep relying on this system, it's not covered.
That's exactly right. Those sacrifices, the blood of bulls and goats, cannot take away sin. The blood of bulls and goats can only remind you that the debt has not been paid. As it says in verse 1 and through 4, those sacrifices were an annual reminder of sins.
So I got to read the whole thing then.
Read the whole thing. So the deliberately keep on sinning part is deliberately rejecting the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's the context.
Basically what I was doing. I was addicted, to sex and drugs, and I was just overtaken constantly. Not now, but,
Yeah. So you're relying upon the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, aren't you?
I am.
You're not rejecting that. You're not living in unbelief. You're not deliberately sinning against the blood of Jesus Christ in the sense that you're rejecting it, that you're relying on...
Even though I committed the act?
Even though you committed acts of sin, those sins have been dealt with. That's what Jesus is trying to tell us. Those sins have already been dealt with. God judged them. God judged them harshly, and the punishment was severe. Death is a pretty severe punishment, isn't it? And Jesus stepped into your shoes, Anthony. You may wear size 12s or size 13s, but Jesus stepped right into them, and he redirected the wrath of God that was pointed to you. He redirected it to him, and he took it, all of it, to set you free from sin and death. Anthony, you are a free man. Rest in that freedom. And the proof of it is the fact that God has declared you to be righteous. He justified you. You stood in his court of law. By faith, you are clinging to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And because of that, a declaration was made by God on your behalf, saying to the world, Anthony is a justified man, a child of the King, born again into the kingdom of God. The sacrifice of Jesus is sufficient. His sins have been taken away forever, removed from him as far as the east is from the west.
In spite of my constant fallacy.
That's right. Your entry into God's presence isn't based on your record. It's based on the record of Jesus Christ. There's not a single person that could stand before God on their record and could say, look how good I've been. I mean, even the most holy person that you can think of, Anthony, sins. May not be sexual sin, but I can guarantee it's some sort of sin.
Could be thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jesus knew all about those, and he dealt with every single one. So, Anthony, you're a free man, my friend. You are forgiven.
My heart made me feel bad about it, but I knew I was addicted, and I felt bad in my heart. And I always repented, and I said, I got to stop, but I couldn't stop. I didn't know how to.
Well, the reason you couldn't stop is because you were trying to do it through your own strength. I bet you did this, Anthony. I bet you got up in the morning and said, today I'm not going to give in to sexual temptation.
Yep, and it happened.
Yeah, because what were you thinking about? You were thinking about sexual temptation. And then Satan comes along and says, well, what sexual temptation? And then he helps you develop a scenario in your mind, and it becomes pretty real. And then when that temptation is just right there in front of you, you are so weak, you just latch on to it. And then you feel bad about it. And you pray, Lord, help me stop. And then you get up the next morning and you say, Lord, I am not going to give in to sexual temptation today.
And it happens again.
It happens again. So God says, change your prayer. Instead of saying, Lord, help me not give in to sexual temptation, it's, Lord, teach me how to trust you and to live out the desires of your spirit day by day. That's a completely different prayer that leads to a completely different mindset.
That's true.
And it's a prayer that leads you to trusting in and abiding in the resurrected Christ, who actually has the power, Anthony, to teach you how to say no to sin.
And that's great, because the drugs are gone.
Praise God.
Praise God for that. Well, also, I just heard him say that I just recently lost my mother. You know, it was sudden. She just dropped dead. I said, talking to her, and, you know, I asked why. You know, it seemed to be no reason she was healthy. And she just had a cardiac arrest on the 25th, and she died.
So that was just a couple of days ago?
Yeah, it was on the 25th of July.
Okay. Well, Anthony, we are so sorry for that. And, That's a painful thing to lose one of your parents. They mean so much to you, especially a mom. And from your mom, you learned about love. They love you unconditionally, and they're just there for you. And it's hard to say goodbye. But God in Jesus Christ is right there for you, Anthony, and he can walk you through that pain and will. And let me do this. I want to put you on hold. I want to send you a copy of this book, The Hurt and the Healer. This is some very practical insight and truth that will be so helpful to you right now. And will you read it and then get back to us?
I will do that.
Okay. Well, Anthony,
and I thank you for your revelation, because the devil will use false doctrines to keep you in condemnation and make you feel guilty and not loving, like God is going to send you to hell. And that's what he does.
Absolutely. And he does it well, doesn't he?
He does do it well. And I study. Believe me, I study, and I didn't understand.
Yeah. Well, Anthony, let us send you this book. Read it and then get back to us. And, you know that whatever we can do to serve you, pray for you, just
pray for me.
Talk with you. Pick up the phone and call us anytime, okay?
Anytime.
Hey,
yes, sir.
Hey, thanks for your call, my friend. You hang on.
And Bob and Richard, for any of our listeners who'd like to get a copy of The Hurt and the Healer, it's available for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospels. Just go to basicgospel.net online and request your copy and make your gift. Again, that's basicgospel.net, or you can request yours by phone at 1-800-727-2828. Again, 1-800-727-2828. The Hurt and the Healer, yours right now for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel, and a wonderful resource to put into Anthony's hands.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Indianapolis and talk to David listening to us on WBRI. Hi, David.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly.
I had a question that I had asked the person who took my call initially asked. Let me ask you, the Southern Baptist, is that also considered Christian, a Christian denomination?
Southern Baptist, they would be considered a Christian denomination. Yes. Protestant, yes.
Okay. Well, the reason why I asked, and I'm so...
David, are you there? I guess we lost David. Let's put him on hold and see if we can get back to him in just a few minutes.
Wanted to know why he was asking.
I know. I was intrigued. Fascinated, indeed. Yeah. Well, let's go to Townsend, Mass, and talk with Joe listening to us on WVNE. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Bob. I love your show. I listen to you every day at 4 o'clock, half past 4, really, on the way home. Me and my wife, we love you.
Well, thank you, Joe. We appreciate that. That means the world to us.
Praise the Lord. Listen, I got a question for you. In the NIV translation, which I'm reading now, in the first book of Timothy, chapter 6, Paul's talking to his adopted son, Timothy, of course. He says, be and evangelist and do the work for that. But then he mentioned, he says, and God, who lives in unapproachable light, you know, God the Father, that no one has ever seen or will see. Now, how do you interpret that, Bob?
Well, God is spirit, and when we go to be with him, we're going to see that light, and it is going to be such a bright light, we certainly won't need any other light to illuminate where we are and what's happening. We will be living in the light of God. He's unapproachable in the sense that, you know, he's all-consuming and that sort of thing, but Jesus Christ has made him approachable to us. And so in Christ, the Word of God bids us entry into the very throne of grace, into God's very presence. So we will be in his presence. We will be in his presence forever. But, you know, oftentimes, Joe, we think of God as, you know, an old man, white hair, white robes, and that sort of thing. Maybe Gandalf, the wizard in the Lord of the Rings, is the image that might come to mind if you've seen that movie. But, you know, Scripture is very clear. God the Father is spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and truth. That reality is just going to remain very clear to us when we go to be with him, and we are in the very presence of this light, the light of God.
Yeah, Bob, the only thing that I'm confused with is that it says that no one has ever seen. Now, the angels, there are angels that that walk to and fro around him and say, holy, 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 Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God, in other words, God is a spirit, but angels are spirits too. Can they see God as a spirit? I'm talking about God the Father. And if so, we will have a transformation body, as you know. So I don't understand why.
Well, good question, Joe. Richard, do you think this particular passage is limiting the no one to humanity?
Yes, I do. In the whole context of it, Paul is impressing on Timothy the transcendence of God, the amazing, overpowering reality that is God, and encouraging him because it's that overwhelmingly powerful God who has initiated his love and grace to us so that we can share in that love and grace and share it with other people. So it's one of those sobering and thrilling ideas all at the same time. And because we're physical, we're not spiritual, it has to reply to us or refer to us because we cannot conceive of that spiritual realm. It's
right,
beyond us.
Right. Moses saw the glory of God passing by, and that's, you know, as far as this realm is concerned, that's as good as it gets, other than the fact that we see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Everything that we can know about God and truly experience of God is through faith in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. Joe, fantastic question today. Really appreciate your call. Let me put you on hold, and we'll send you a copy of this book, okay?
Okay, Bob. Thanks a lot, and God bless you.
And thanks for joining in every day. Every time we come on the air, we'll think about you in Townsend, Mass.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, you hang on, my friend. Well, let's go back to David in Indianapolis. Hi, David. Yeah, your question had us fascinated there.
Intrigued.
I'm sorry, my phone actually went dead, or I lost the signal, rather. But I was calling because the Southern Baptists, you said that they're Protestant, that they're Christian. The reason why I was asking that is because you had mentioned to the previous caller before I went dead that context was extremely important. And the person that called in that prompted me to call had asked regarding same-sex, either women and women or men and men, being wrong because of it being called an abomination in Scripture. And then he had said, well, would it still be an abomination in reference to the Greek Scriptures or the New Testament? And so you had said that would still be the case. And my question that I'm asking in regards to context, I was looking at the Southern Baptist history, and one of the things that, and they apologized for it in 1995, but they were very adamant at the time that the Bible said that slavery wasn't a sin, and even to the extent of believing that the African race was the sin race. And of course, they don't believe that now, but at the time, it was really taught pretty strongly and pretty heavily from the pulpit, and to the extent it kind of helped shape the racism within our history. The point of me saying that is that when I look at how some people who have said the same thing you have said, that homosexuality is a sin because it's mentioned as an abomination, I'm wondering if that, too, was taken out of context, because there are certain things that are also considered an abomination, such as eating shrimp. And I realized Paul later on in the Greek scriptures started to refer to, you know, nothing going into your body as being sinful. But there are other rules and regulations that we don't consider sinful, such as touching.
Well, David, let me kind of jump in, because this is a great question, and I love the conversation. I love the topic, and I love how you've looked at things, researched things. You know what you're speaking about, and I really, really appreciate that. Sin, from God's vantage point, is still sin. And
correct.
You know, there's arguments. Is this really considered a sin? And that's, you know, where homosexuality kind of fits in the conversation today. You know, with those who kind of look at the Bible and read it, they'd say, yeah, well, homosexuality would be a sin, just like adultery would be a sin. That fits under that category of sexual immorality.
That's what I would say. Scripture differs from you, though, because adultery is handled a lot differently than the passages in Leviticus that are supposedly referred to homosexuality. For example, the gentleman who had called before me, he had made specific reference to women and women. And when you look at the passage in Leviticus, it only mentions men. But more importantly, when you look at the context, because in Leviticus chapter 18, verses 1 through 3, it clearly states that these are abominations that were taking place in the surrounding cities, which would be the Canaanites. And so when you, or the Canaanites who lived in Canaan, so when you look at actually what their ritual consists of, and then you look at Scripture making reference to that and telling the Israelites, I don't want you
well,
doing
David,
what they're doing.
David, I've,
it's
yeah, I understand.
Clear, but
yeah, I understand.
Let me say one more thing. My, Moses, in the book of Deuteronomy.
Well, David, let me ask you this. Are you trying to justify homosexuality?
I'm trying to let Scripture speak for itself, because I think that...
Well, in the bottom line of allowing Scripture to speak for itself is this, that God has already dealt with sin once and for all, and there's something greater...
I think you're speaking in terms of generalities, though, because...
Well, listen, David, just listen for a second, David. The goal, why Christ died, was to bring us to God. Why? Because there's something else in play. Sin had consequences. Regardless of whatever sin or whatever lifestyle or whatever you're involved in, whatever I was involved in, whatever anybody else was involved in, deep down spiritually, we were dead. We were separated from the life of God. Jesus Christ had to deal with the very thing that brought that separation into being. That was called sin. He dealt with it at the cross so that he could offer life in him. And when we come to him, that's what we receive. We receive forgiveness of sins, but more than anything else, we receive life. That's what this gospel message is all about. It's about life. So we can try to justify our existences, but in the end, they're still empty. We're still going to be wanting something more. That's just history. That's just truth. That's just reality. And that something more is Jesus Christ himself. And when we receive him, we receive life. David, thanks for your call today. We certainly appreciate it.
Well, you and David just took all my time. Thank you for
that. We did, didn't we?
We are just about out of time, everybody. Remember, a copy of The Hurt and the Healer is yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. All you need to do is go to basicgospel.net or call 1-800-727-2828. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry staff, Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel.